Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello, happy Wednesday, and what could be a happier topic for a midlife love show than, you got it, divorce.
Oh, is that where we're going? We're jumping right into divorce. This is Devin Gallaudet. You've been hearing the dulcet tones of my lovely wife, Morgana Ray.
And no, we are not getting divorced, but divorce has a funny role in our getting married. So, Devin, I was very surprised when I heard this. I think we were being interviewed somewhere, and this was your answer to, I guess, why you married me.
Well, I married you for a great many wonderful reasons.
That I'm fishing to hear all
I know,
the time.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yes.
And so I'm going to take us back in time. I had a professor when I went back to school as a middle-aged guy, and there was a professor there who was just an interesting, sharp guy. His name was Al Erdnast at Antioch University in Los Angeles. And Al, I remember reading a paper that he wrote about choosing a wife or a partner in life as a whole, not necessarily by all their wonderful qualities, but what would they be like if you were to break up with them? So in other words, his premise, his theory, and I believe strongly in this theory, that you want to marry a person that you wouldn't mind getting a divorce from.
Oh my God, that sounds so awful. And
no,
I think
but
you
hold,
are
hold on.
Really no, optimistic, but go ahead.
Right, well I am an optimist. So the presence being that if somebody would be able to walk through an awful type of scenario like that with a certain amount of decorum and love, in spite of the difficulties, that would be the kind of person you would actually want to marry.
And there you heard it. Go out, fall in love, and find the person that you wouldn't mind divorcing.
I'm not saying that you want to divorce them. I'm saying that if you were to imagine going through such a terrible and challenging point, that other person would treat you with still a semblance of love, respect, caring, right? Even if it's an awful thing, right? Because there are certainly divorces that have been, right, awful, horrendous. And there are the ideas of divorce where you could, and I'm going to quote somebody here, I could do divorce right.
Do divorce right. Wow.
That sounds compelling, right? So maybe it's not the first thing on my list, but I think it should be a thing on the list. It should be something to think about. If I'm going through these terrible moments, would I want somebody who's on my team, even if they disagree, even if they're angry with me, even if all these other things are happening?
Well, speaking of doing divorce right, our friend Jennifer Hurwitz has a podcast called Doing Divorce Right, and she's also an award-winning comedy writer, and I think this morning I saw in my Facebook feed that her screenplay is a finalist for numerous film festival awards, and when she got divorced, she became a best-selling author writing books about divorce. And one of those books called Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, The Divorce Coach's Guide to, I think, Staying Married It's really great title. Showed up on the shelves of Target this week. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, heck, we really need to have her on the show because she is fun and funny and wise. And we need to talk about when things aren't working. So Jennifer is going to share with us her strategies for making the marriage work again, and if it isn't supposed to work, how to do divorce right.
And by the way, I'm going to go out on a far, far thin branch.
Yeah.
And absolutely say that I think Jennifer is going to agree with me and my professor, Al Erdnast.
Well, let's find out. Let's get Jennifer on the line right now. Whose team are you on, Jennifer? Team Morgana or Team
God.
Devin?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You have to
take a side.
Oh, my God. I have been biting my tongue, like sitting here listening, and I'm laughing and trying not to laugh too hard because I'm like, Devin, yes, 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 I'm on your team. I'm on your professor's team. You're fabulous. I love it. I love it. You are 100% correct. If I could pick the person that I'm going to marry based on if I could divorce him amicably, that is my goal. That would be it because, you know, I love you both. Hi.
Hi.
That I really believe that, yes, you're right. My husband and I, we divorced right. And I think that I didn't know I was going to divorce him, obviously, but, I don't know. It just turned out that way. We got divorced and we're best friends. So it can happen. It can happen. So,
right.
Hi,
and
how
so,
are you?
and good to hear your voice. It's good to hear your voice.
You
it's
too.
Been far too long. So
far
I'm so
long.
Glad that, you know, because Morgana came running in the room, you know, a few nights ago, screaming, oh, my God.
I'm smiling so big right now. You have no idea. I'm smiling so big. Y'all, I miss you. I hope everything is good over there. This crazy times, crazy times.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy times and life is good. And so anyway, just to kind of reiterate my earlier point about marrying somebody you'd want to divorce, I don't know if that's sort of like a number one on your list. However, I think it's a consideration when you pick somebody because it's not merely about the divorce. It's about the kind of personality who can walk through the difficult stuff without making you, you know, Satan.
Well, it's kind of like going to war with a person, right? Like you say, like, I would go to war with that guy, or I would go run through fire with him, or I know he'd be there and he'd have my back. It's kind of like in the best of times and the worst of times, right? So
right.
I have the chills, actually, and I get so choked up when I talk about my ex this way because, you know, you go to the chuppah, you go to the altar, you guys have gone 100 times, and you look at this person and you never think, I'm going to end up divorced. But, you know, I mean, if you ask 100 recently engaged couples, like immediately, you know, like who's going to end up divorced? No one raises their hand, right? But 50% of those people are going to end up divorced. So you really want to go to that altar or chuppah knowing that that person, you may end up divorced, which is so scary nowadays. It's so, so scary. Makes my job.
Yeah.
You know, gives me something.
Can I share with you my divorce avoidance strategy since second
yes,
grade?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Can I feel it if I like it?
Oh, yeah. So, good luck. But my family famously for generations on both sides, easily going back to my great-grandmother and maybe before her, bad first marriages, like not even subtly bad first marriages, neon screaming bad first marriages. And then out of the park, home run, get it right, super happy, happily ever after, you know, with a little bit of healthy bickering, but really good second marriages.
I think I knew that. I think we talked about that before.
Probably when I was on your show.
Yeah.
So I made a decision when I was about 7 years old that it would be more efficient and maybe kinder to my heart to skip the first marriage and just marry the second husband and hold out for the second husband, which is what I did and why I did not get married until I was 47. So it's a combination of skipping the bad first marriage and going straight to the happy second husband And also waiting so late in life that hopefully there won't be time for a divorce.
I'm going to tell you how lucky you are today, because guess what? You win another prize. Both of you are right, because guess what that's called? The first marriage nowadays, that famous first marriage, before the age of 27 or 28, I think, is actually called a starter marriage. And I've actually written articles about it, because getting married too young is now, are you ready for this? Getting married too young, I think I want to say it's the third cause of divorce. Don't quote me. I've got to get it right. I'm going to look. It's actually one, two, three. I think it's the third cause of divorce. Actually, one, two. It's the third cause of divorce right now is getting married too young. Because guess what? It is getting married too young. They're called starter marriages. Right out of the gate, I tell my kids all the time, don't even look at getting married or think about it till you're 40. You know, and they laugh at me. But I'm like, no, guys, it's true. It's the whole slew of things. There's actually a biological anthropologist, Helen Fisher, who I love and I study all the time. She's amazing. And she talks about it all the time. It's called slow love. She talks about slow love and how it's so important to take love slowly. And she means it. Getting to know each other and really knowing who the person is inside and out. You know, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
So I'm thinking, now I totally get the 27 idea of post-27. Yeah. And I did. I actually, as you also probably know, I've been married. This is my second marriage, and I did wait past 27. But before we move to the you know, away from the 27 idea, is there a reason for it? Like, I have an inkling, but is there any particular reason why somebody, you know, younger than 27 is not ready or something?
Yeah. I'm going to get real scientific, but I'll make it really easy. Your amygdala, your brain, look at me getting all scientific here. Your brain is just not developed. You know, the frontal cortex, everything about you, you're just not, you're not mature enough, plain and simple, right? People are probably going to call in and be like, she's crazy. She has no idea what she's talking about. But really, you're just, you're a little guy. You're a little, and I don't mean to be, you know, whatever, but you're just young and you need time to develop. And you actually have to grow through what you go through, right? So they say you either grow up and you go through this life together, or you grow up and you grow apart, right?
Yeah. So and I have a few friends who did get married before 27
and they're great
and they're total space aliens to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them, but I don't get it. Even my sister, who didn't get married until
even, I think it's maybe even later, even but let's say 25, 26, 27. But I mean, I remember
well,
sitting
she met her boyfriend
somewhere.
At 15. Oh my God.
That's
she did that to spite me. Yeah, I met my husband at 45. She met hers at 15.
But outliers. Yeah, outliers. Absolutely. And look, it happens. There's always like that, you know, special one to the rule and whatever. But really, like, you either grow together and you do it, or you grow apart and it's hard. Marriage is tough. All relationships are tough. They're all work. I know marriage is tough. Divorce is tough. Dating is tough. You have to give yourself, I mean, it's hard. It's hard work. So yeah, you can either, it is what it is. But if think about how long you have to live with this one person, right? It's a long time. So, you know, I feel like if you get married at 45, the chances are a lot better.
So when you were, you know, with your husband, were you sort of a young bride?
You know what's funny? This is so funny.
Or am I asking too much? Or is everybody 29 years
old? No, my
God.
Are you kidding me? No, read my books. My mouth, I'm open to everyone. I was not really a young bride, but in my mind, I even remember going down, and my mom laughed, but I walked down the aisle and I got to the chuppah and I kind of gave him this look and I kind of shook him off a little bit. And I said to my mom in wedding video, she saw it and we like looked at each other like, Mom, did you see me give him that look? And she's like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, why didn't you stop me? And she's like, well, you looked so pretty. And I remember, being like, Mom.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I got it.
I was 26. And here's the bottom line. Everyone around me, I was the last one to get married. All my friends were married. Everyone was engaged or married. I was like, I had like 1,000 bridesmaids dresses and all different colors of dyeable shoes to match. And it was like I felt the pressure to get married. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's Jewish or not Jewish, whatever, Jewish girls, we get married. You go to college, you get the MRS degree, you know, you find a guy, he's, you know, whatever, and you get married and that's it. You have babies and that's, no, that's not it. I just think that that was my, I thought that was my path in life. And I loved him. He was the perfect, I tell people all the time, he was the best husband and I was, I'm sorry, he was the best father. I was looking for a baby daddy. He was the best father and I was the best mother, but he was, can I swear? No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was a crappy husband and I was a crappy wife. You know, I think we just wanted kids so badly, and that's, I can go into that whole, we'll get there too. I don't know. I'll keep talking, but you know, we put our kids first and we forgot about each other. So that's what happened.
Is that why you guys are such good friends now? Cause you still have the kids in common without all that odious, like,
yeah,
husband, you know, and wife stuff.
I think that's it. You know, my kids look at me out there now, it's been 5 years, and they're like, why are you guys still talking? Why, you're supposed to be divorced and all the other divorced parents don't speak and you guys are, I'm like, oh my God, we did it right. What do you mean you should be happy? But it's funny. I think we had to get divorced to realize how to be friends. Mm. We lost each other. We lost it all. We lost the respect we had for each other. We lost our common ground. We were just, all we cared about were the kids. And I think that happens to a lot of people with children. We lost the love we have for each other and we gave it all to our babies, which I can't apologize for, but at the same time, I'm sorry. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of weird, but.
Well, I have two thoughts going through my head. On one hand, really, really grateful that divorce is available. That my parents' divorce saved my life later on, right, when my when my mother was not a safe person to live with. I had a father who wasn't with my mother, and I needed that. It did save my life. So staying together for the kids, if one of the parents is abusive, is not good for the kids.
Exactly. And I say, that's exactly right. That's a caveat in the beginning of my second book. Everyone says to me, well, you know, you're so pro marriage, keeping all these marriages together. It's not right. If it's no. Marriage, you know, divorce is the best thing. If it's inevitable and you have to get divorced, that is what you do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, if you're in an abusive, emotionally abusive, physically abusive relationship, you get out, you go, you, that's it, you know? Yeah. And I stand firm. I have clients that come to me all the time and they're like wishy-washy. And let me tell you, it's real easy for me to say, you know, you stay or you go. It's a difficult decision to make, but it's very obvious if you have to go, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned earlier something about the chuppah and the altar. And, you know, when you talk about Judaism, there's something called within the religion called a get.
Yeah.
Which is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is sort of like one of the 613 good deeds that you can do. And one of them is that if you are no longer for each other, then the dissolution of the marriage is actually a good thing.
Right, right.
Well, certainly if you resent the person you're with, that's not doing that person any favor when they're, you know, can be somebody out there who would be so much happier with this person.
Right. Well, that's how my husband and I came to the conclusion that we needed to be done. I mean, we looked at each other one day and I share this in the book too. I said to him, look, we have two choices. You can either live with me in this resentful state the rest of our lives and we can end up hating each other, or we can leave now and we can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a choice. We're all, life is filled with choices, right? We make choices every day. And at that time in my life, we chose to be happier apart. So my woulda, coulda, shoulda, people say, well, do you regret it? You know, is your life filled with regret? And I'm like, you know, I don't regret getting divorced. I regret what I did to my kids. I feel like, you know, I still feel like if I would have known then what I know now, I would have done things differently. You know what I'm saying? But you can't know that till you go through it. So
what would you do differently?
You know what? In my marriage, I mean, not the divorce.
Yeah.
I'm
very
where do
curious
I start?
About that because yeah. I'm yeah. sure that's there are a bunch of people listening.
Yes.
Who want to know?
Oh, I'm honest. Can we make a second book?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. My second book is in two parts. The first part is, you know, what I could have done differently in my marriage. And the second part is what divorce really looks like. Mm. And I'm brutally honest, brutally honest. And I think it's important because I think you have to hold yourself accountable for things that you did in your past relationship so you can move forward. I was not the nicest girl, I'll be honest. You know, I was emasculating. I thought I could do everything right. I thought I was faster and better and quicker and smarter. And, you know, I mean, who wants to live with someone like that?
Mm.
It's
Devin, do not give me the side eye right now.
I gave no look. what you saw was indigestion.
Do you know how many phone calls I get, how many messages that say, oh my God, this is me. I'm reading my life. I'm reading how many husbands call me and say, thank you, Jennifer, for writing this book because my wife is so different now. She treats me with such a kindness and her tone of voice has changed because, you know, I nagged. I was a nagger. And look, it's not all the women, right? It's not all the girls. I love to talk to groups because I put the guys on one side and the girls on the other. And I say, guys, how many naggers do we have? And then the guys are, how many guys don't listen when the woman talks? You know, it's like, it is what it is, right? But you can make changes. And I think people need to realize when they read this book, they realize I have some changes to make and I better make them fast, right? So I love to help couples and realize before it's too late, before they make that jump, what they can do in their relationships, which is fun for me.
Speaking of helping couples, if somebody wants to call in and get some advice, the phone number to call is 888-627-6008. And I'll repeat it and then we'll get back to talking and I'll be alerted when somebody calls in. The number to speak with Jennifer is 888-627-6008. So Jennifer, do you have some tips?
Oh gosh,
to save a marriage.
Where do I start? To save a marriage first. Let's think. Well, I do. I have in my book. I write about the four secrets to a successful relationship. And you know, it's funny. I kind of touched on a couple of them, but I do the four S's, and I kind of made them all S's. I thought that was like cute. But you know, my
how
number
very
one.
How very Slytherin of you.
Oh, excuse me.
How very Slytherin of you.
Oh, yes, very Slytherin and sexy, too, because my first one, of course, is sex.
Okay.
Which I don't know if we can go there, if you want to go there immediately. But,
go there. This is crazy, sexy midlife love.
I love
Let's
it.
Leave it
yes,
sex.
Of course.
We have the crazy already. Let's go to the sex.
It's in the title.
I love it. I love when I saw the title of this, I was like, this is, I mean, I got to go on here. I was screaming. I was so excited. Yeah, I mean, sex, you know, sexless marriage, people are always like, oh, well, you know, I have enough sex, or we're good with our intimacy level. And typically, you know, you're not. It's funny. People say, you know, they come to me and they say, oh, we have sex, you know, 6 months ago we had sex. And I'm like, oh, for the love of God. So if you think that having sex, you know, every 6 months is okay, if you're both okay with having sex every 6 months, then you're okay. And I try to explain that to people. Like, it's about what you both want. But typically in a marriage, when one of you says, oh, I'm fine having sex every 6 months, the other person is not. And that's where the trouble starts. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah. So, you know, that was that's a lot of
But that's
a lot
also
people.
Very common. So how do you adjust mismatched sex drives?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Well, first of all, they're difficult conversations to have, right? They're super difficult. I think people think, you know, it's real easy to talk about sex. And it should be real easy. But it's that, like, that elephant in the room type of thing, right? And it gets to be where, like, you know, where you're laying there. Well, this was me, where I would, like, lay there at night and be like, oh, God, please. You know, like, I just don't. I hope he doesn't touch me. Or, like, you know, I'm going to pretend I have diarrhea. That was my favorite. I had more diarrhea than any woman in the entire world. I was like, you know, like,
okay, go on.
You know, but I think, like, just like at a job, every week you have to check in with your partner. Mm. And you have to pick a day. Do you guys do that?
No, we don't pick a day. We just...
But we talk a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you guys have, like, I don't mean to be whatever, but I feel like you guys have, like, the perfect relationship. Am I right? I feel like you
have a good relationship.
We actually, yeah, no, we have a really good relationship.
Yeah,
I know
we
you do. I know, and you know, so it's hard to, you know, you guys are. I love you. I remember meeting you and thinking they've got this energy. I don't go off topic here, but you just have this energy about you that I know y'all are good. So, but a lot of people are not. So typically, what I'll tell my clients is, let's make a day. Let's pick a day where you're going to check in. And when I mean check in, I mean like grab a glass of wine or snuggle up on the couch or have some hot chocolate or, you know, and just say, hey, let's talk about three things this week that I loved and three things that weren't so great. And typically a couple of those things are probably going to be, I didn't have enough sex with you this week, babe, or, you know, for something, whatever. I'm a big fan. Tell me if I'm talking too much.
No, you're doing fantastic.
I'm a big fan of scheduling sex. Now, I get mixed reviews on this, but it's one of my most favorite things to do, and I'll tell you why. I know it. People think it's crazy, but I love this. When you schedule sex once a week, and I like to start with once a month if people haven't had sex in 6 months, once a month even, but if you can schedule sex once a week, let's say it's every Friday night, and you know that you and your guy are going to have sex only on Friday nights. Every Friday night, like Shabbat Shalom or whatever it's going to be, I don't care. It's Friday night. You know.
Light the candles and have sex.
Exactly. You know you're having sex every Friday night, right? So that Friday night, what do? Maybe you send her a sexy note at work. Maybe you put a little special song in his briefcase. Maybe it's like that anticipation of sex. It's an aphrodisiac, right? So you know that whole week that you're going to shave. You're going to get your whatever, your manscaping ready. You're going to get your groove on. But you know that that Friday is your night.
I think you just made Devin blush.
But I do need a fan all of a sudden.
Okay, yeah. But the best part about this is that the rest of the week, it's off limits. So you don't have to worry about it, right? So these women who say to me, oh, I just can't do it. I'm like, he's all over me, or he wants it all day long. Or you see what I'm saying? You know that you're not, there's no stress. There's no stress about it the rest of the week.
When I was in my 20s and it was a problem in that relationship, which is why I'm not married to that person, that I married Devin. I think we were sexually mismatched and sex led to complications and physical pain. But I look back with regret because I turned off, you know, to this young, healthy, nice guy. And so I didn't understand how much he needed it or how much I had rejected him until I was in my 40s, and women hit their sexual peak at 45. And a 45-year-old woman is like an 18-year-old boy. We have way more testosterone. We're more comfortable with our body.
Yes.
And then I meet Devin, who is, no matter how exhausted, willing to satisfy me as many times a day as I require for as many years as it took. And I was so touched by that I really, really kind of had an epiphany of how, like, how I didn't show up for that person back then, and how I
but you get it right.
Would want to show up just if you know whenever Devin wants it, how I would want to show up the way he showed up for me.
And that's amazing because you realize what happened, right? You get it. You took what you learned in that relationship and you put it towards this one, which is amazing, right? And you now know exactly. And the best part is that you're so right about everything you said. So like, it's just you're more comfortable and you're more, you know, you're at your sexual peak and you feel this confidence. And so you're just grooving and I feel the same way.
And the hormones change and all of that.
God, right.
But I do remember feeling like, oh my God, he only cares about sex at that time.
Right.
It was it was a horrible conflict.
Right. I kind of feel like that now. I feel like all I want is sex with my boyfriend, maybe, you know, but I feel like it's the age too. Like, I'm just like, you're right. Like, I'm 40. How old am I? 47. And I didn't, I'm just, it's so strange to me. And so, I love talking about it. But the other thing too is there are so many sexologists and sex therapists and sex gurus and sex, there's so much available, so much information now that, like, there should never be anyone that feels like they can't find someone to help them or mm-hmm. to talk about it. I have so many great assets and resources and so many there. I mean, everyone call me and reach out to me because I have so many amazing people that can help. No one should ever feel ashamed or sad about their sex life. I have so many friends that don't even talk about it or hide their feelings. And I feel sad for them because you can get better. Sex is oftentimes, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Sex is oftentimes like the reason why people cheat, or obviously there's infidelity in a relationship, but yeah. You can fix it. You can fix it with your partner. You know what I'm saying?
And I also feel it adds kind of a glueiness to the relationship.
Yeah.
It dumps all these happy, lovey chemicals in our bloodstream.
Yes. That's the next thing I was going to say.
Yeah. And it feeds the connection. And that's why it's important.
And it relieves stress. And you have dopamine and oxytocin and all this amazing, you're right, these hormones going back and forth. And it's intimacy too, right? It's not even, I tell people, like, holding hands, even hold hands, like, just love each other up, just be next to each other, you know, get your oxytocin pumping. It's the cuddle hormone, right?
Yeah.
If you could just do that, like, it's just a start. Get off your phone, put that technology away. That is a huge problem. Facebook, is causing so many, like, affairs and the cheating. I could go on all day.
But, really? You know,
so wait, is that, oh so God, yes, is the social yes. media a second S?
Oh my God, second, so you should see the stats on the increase in divorce rates since Facebook, and like every year, it's insane. Like emotional
really?
Affairs, oh my, it is, I can't even tell you. I did a whole, I can't remember, I want to give exact stats because I don't remember, but it's crazy. Like social media is caused so many emotional affairs to start.
Oh, yeah. Facebook is the devil. There, I've said
the
it.
Devil. I love it and hate it. Love it and hate it.
Yeah, well, you know how much I'm on it. So, yeah.
Well, I have to. Don't we have to be? I think, like, we have to be with what we do.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sex. You
so,
get,
sex
you, we
and
have
social
four
media.
S's.
Four S's, right?
Social media, yes. Sex and no social media, right?
And no social media.
Okay.
So it's an un-S. It's the
anti-S. Take the S away, right. And then the other one I do is silence. I call it silence, but it's really not. It's talk less and listen more. So females.
Thank you, Erin Burr.
Yes, right. Oh. I still have that. Yes, talk less. Right. Smile more. Right?
Talk less, smile more. Yeah,
talk
okay.
Less. Exactly. Talk
We're
less.
We're Hamilton fans.
That's right. Don't you love it? Oh, my God. Did you watch it? I watched it like 14 times.
Yes, of course.
Yes. So talk less. So the girls need to speak. So speak less. And then the guys need to listen more. So women, you need to shush and literally just stop talking all the time because guys, it's overload. It's sensory overload for them. Because I feel like the men say to me, oh, she doesn't talk. She comes at me all the time. I can't. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right?
Well, thank goodness we're not like that. Right, Devin?
Right.
I'm actually afraid to talk right now.
I was thinking
Devin is practicing his listening.
Yes, yeah, so I'm listening. My listening skills are honing yeah, as we go.
I was like, is Devin going to be able to? I was like, the three of us, I don't know about this. How are we going to do this? I should be quiet too. Tell me if I talk too much.
No, you're doing fantastic.
No, we want you to talk. You are the guest.
Oh my gosh.
The star.
Oh my gosh. And then when I say listen more, I don't mean that you need to actually like sit there and listen, but I mean actually hear what your partner is saying. So, right? So women are always like, he never listens to me. Okay, he is listening to you, but he's not really listening, right? If you were to say, did you hear me? He's not really, because guess what? You're nagging. He shut down at the first three words you said, right? Because you're nagging all the time. So I get that back and forth.
Well, if he would listen, I wouldn't have to nag.
Exactly,
right?
If he would pick up his towel off the floor, you wouldn't have to nag him. But guess what? That towel that he left on the floor doesn't have to be the reason to get divorced, because sometimes that freaking towel on the floor becomes the reason that people get divorced. Don't make it the reason. Does that make sense? That towel
No,
sure.
No, you make the dishwasher
towel.
The reason.
it holds too much power. Because okay. it's not the towel that's the problem. It's the whole conflict around it.
Yeah. It's the thing behind the thing.
Yes, yes, yes. So I tell people, don't let that, you know, who cares about the sock on the floor? Is the sock really that important that he really picks up that sock? No. But it's the fact that he can't listen to you or respect you enough to pick up that sock, right?
Right. Well, and a lot of that stuff is sort of like, if I'm honest with you, I think a lot of those kinds of arguments are projections. In other words, that the leaving the sock on the floor has a meaning that's incredibly important other than, oh, laziness or whatever, right?
But it's not the meaning to the girl or is it the meaning to you?
Oh, no, no. I think to the person who receives the thing. In other words, I'm not talking necessarily that it's the guy leaving a sock on the floor.
No, because
I'm saying it's a small thing.
Right, right.
That the person who's annoyed by it has some sort of a projection on top of it.
Yes, yes. But do you think that that sock that you really had some, did you really have a hidden meaning? Were you like out to get her that day so you left the sock there?
Oh, yeah, no. No, this is
right. Exactly.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I'm somewhere else, and I forgot the sock. And to Morgana's credit, she's not a big sock complainer.
Okay, thank you, Devin.
I was that person. I was that nagger. So I used to take all of my husband's things at the end of the day and put them on his bed, like on the pillow.
Oh dear.
At the end of the day, because I was like, I'm done. I can't take it over because he wouldn't. And so like. That's where I'm telling, like, you can't do that stuff and expect to stay married. I was just a bitch. Like, who does that, right? So those are the things that I'm trying to get at. Like,
so what would you do differently if we were to, you know, rewind the movie?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And he's being him and he's doing what he's doing. What would you do differently?
Oh, my gosh. So many. And it's funny. I wrote the book and there's a passage in it where I was sitting in Malibu and I was at a speaker. She was speaking at the mountain. It was gorgeous and overlooking the Pacific. And she started talking about this, kind of around the same thing about nagging and blah, blah, blah. And her husband put the dishes in the dishwasher the wrong way and the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my God, that was me. And I stood up and I got on my cell phone and I called Mark, my husband. And I said, this is after we were just separated. And I said, I am so sorry. And he's like, Jennifer, what are you doing? I have the kids. You're supposed to be at this workshop. You're enjoying yourself. And I called him in Charlotte and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm apologizing to you. I said, I am so sorry. I said, I was an emasculating bitch. And he said, Jennifer, you are a mom and you did the best you could do. And I said, stop it. No, just say it's okay, you know? And he's like, Jen, I'm like, no, Mark, I'm sorry. Like, I just didn't realize in the moment how honestly horrible I was.
Mm.
So was it the event that you went to that triggered this insight, or were you having these little insights after the divorce?
You know what? Like, it was all after. I didn't realize at all while I was doing it because I was so. I don't know if I was. I don't want to blame my hormones. I don't know if I just thought like. It was a control thing with me. Like my boys, they were so little. I thought it was, I think like the only thing I thought I could control. And I gave up my career and I gave up everything for the boys. And I think like that was my job. And he would go to work every day and have real conversations and get to talk to real people and take a shower. And you know what I mean? And like every day he'd come home and that was my job were the boys. So I thought that I had to do it right. Like I was going to prove to the world that I could be the best mom ever.
Well, but I took a class with Alison Armstrong years ago. I love her classes on the difference between men and women. And she was talking about how because women have diffuse awareness, we are hyper aware of our environment. So it's like that pillow in the wrong place is screaming at us. And we just want things in their place so that we can have quiet. And because men tend to be more single focused, it doesn't bother them like it bothers us.
Oh, I love that. You're so right. Because that's exactly how I felt. If anything was out of place, my world felt wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's, by the way, that's not necessarily wrong. That's female.
Okay, good.
Not
feel better.
All women. But generally speaking, we tend to be more aware of all the little things around us in a different way. And so I think, it, you know, have some compassion for yourself too.
Thank you. Yes,
and
I do now. Yeah.
What would be a better strategy if dumping, making notes, dumping all of Devin's worldly possessions on his pillow at night, scratching that out, not a good strategy. What would be a better strategy?
Yeah, I would let him do it. I would have let Mark do his thing. Like, I remember he would diapering Joan, and I'd be like, I got it. I remember he would make mac and cheese. I'm doing it. Like, everything I did was, I was faster. I was better. I was, you know what? He can do it. I was, he knew. He was good. He was fine. Like, I was giving him the power back in our relationship would have also shown that I had respect for him, right? Mm. That I knew that he could do it. Also, guess what else would have happened? I would have been a better mom because I would have been had time to myself. You know, I never had a break. I felt tired all the time. I was exhausted. Well, why was I exhausted? I didn't let anyone help me. You know, he wanted to help. And I wouldn't let him. You know? So, yeah, I write about this in the book, and I just think women call me and they're like, I'm reading my life.
And so. The book is Woulda, Shoulda, Coulda.
Yep.
The Divorce Coach's Guide to Staying Married. Did I get it right?
You did.
Okay.
You did.
The link and a cute little graphic of the book should be on the BBS Radio Crazy Sexy Midlife Love website so that everybody in the universe can get it, as they should. Did this experience with your husband make you a better relationship partner moving forward?
I wonder if my boyfriend would call in. I hope so. You know, I have my days. I definitely have my days. But and I dated a lot of frogs afterwards, a lot of frogs to get to my prince. But I'm in a 3.5-year relationship now, and I try so hard. I've done so much work on myself. I did a lot of work. And I think everybody needs, I think coaches need coaches and therapists need therapists. And I did a lot of work. So yeah, I hope so. I hope I'm a better partner now than I was, and I hope that we can, you know, I don't think I'll ever get married again.
Why not?
I don't know if I'm, you know what? I don't know if I feel the need to, or if we're just so good. You know, he's so funny, and you're going to die when I tell you this. He's like exactly like my husband. They're like the same person. Dying if he's listening. I mean, they are the same person. Only I enjoy having sex with him. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. But... I love it. Yeah. I have more sex all the time. You know, that's it. So yeah, he's amazing. And I think we just, he's my person. So, you know, it's good. It's good stuff. I don't know if I'm scared. Maybe I'm a little bit scared. I don't know.
Many, many blessings. I love all that stuff that you're saying.
Thank
so, okay,
you. Thank
so you left us at two S's.
Oh, shoot. I better do them quick before we have to go. So it was sex and intimacy. What was it? Talk less, listen more. Oh, smile and be sweet. That was just being sweet and smiling and being nice, being kind. You know, when your spouse walks in at the end of the day, like actually greeting them with a smile. I never did that either. I was always like, here's the kids. You know, or like who wants to come home to that? Who wants to come home to the wife that's like, here, it's your turn, you know, or like he'd call from work and be like, you know, can I pick anything up? And I'd be like, why are you calling? Or like, I was mean. Don't I sound like a horrible person? Ugh. It's like, you know, so be kind and be sweet and do nice things. And I feel like you guys do that. You're like so kind to each other. So yeah. And then number four, no, we don't have time to talk about number four. Everyone's going to yell and not going to like me, but put the kids second. Put the kids second. You have to put your kids second so that your marriage can come first. If you put your kids first, and every time I talk about this on the stage, the entire crowd goes crazy. And by the time I'm done talking, they're all like, yes, yes, yes. You have to put your kids second so your marriage comes first.
I actually think there's a really good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's many good reasons, but here's my really good reason for it. Is that if you are modeling what a good relationship looks like for your kid who's in second place, that kid will now know exactly how to be in a good relationship and spot Absolutely. A good relationship when Absolutely. They get older.
Yep, and they'll also become first. By putting your kids second, they automatically become first because you are a better parent, you are a better spouse, you are more in love, you are more compassionate, your endorphins are popping, you're having sex, and guess what? All of a sudden, the family becomes a better family unit because you're in love and you're happy. If you
yeah,
put
no,
your
I
kids
think
first,
that's, I think that's genius stuff.
Yeah.
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 So what
yeah.
brought you to that conclusion? Was there a moment in time that said, yeah. oh, this is what I needed to have done?
I mean, I think just my entire last 5 years of watching my husband and I co-parent like rock stars, I think by getting divorced and realizing the mistakes I made, it's funny, my TED Talk that got canceled, oh my God, the TED Talk is called What My Divorce Taught Me About Marriage.
Mm.
And that's basically it. My divorce taught me how to stay married. And unfortunately, I couldn't save my own marriage, but I feel like I can help other people. And if you want to know how to be happily divorced, I'm really good at that too. So it's fun. I like what I do. I like the happy stuff.
I'm going to give out our phone number again in case somebody wants to call in. 888-627-6008 to call, say hi, ask a question or make a comment.
And right now we're speaking with
Jennifer Hurwitz.
Divorce Right podcast.
Doing Divorce Right.
Doing
podcast.
Divorce Right.
Oh, it's not close enough. We'll get it.
And the author of Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda?
Yeah, Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda. And I think The Happy coulda, Divorce. Did I get that right?
I'm sure I messed
it. Woulda, Coulda. You got it right. It's close enough.
Okay. And there was the other one. The first book, The Happy Divorce, I think, or something.
Oh, one Happy Divorce.
Oh, okay. Right. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the first one.
And then you also have these comedy awards.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe.
Nothing funnier than divorce. So tell us about the screenplay.
What could be funnier than divorce?
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you. Yeah, I don't know, 5 years ago I decided, I started this whole thing. I tell people I made a career out of my divorce. I started a blog called The Truth Hurwitz, and...
which, by the way, one of the greatest names of
all
time.
Thank you. I can't take credit. Someone thought of it for me. My friend in Chicago, he said, you got to call The Truth Hurwitz, like The Truth Hurts. And I'm like, that's amazing. So someone found me in LA and said, can you write a TV show? And I was like, no, I don't even know how to write. And they're like, yeah. No, you do. And I'm like, okay, I'll try. And so I wrote a TV pilot. It's called Jen Again, and it's based off my life. And it's been winning some film festivals and some stuff. And cross your fingers. You might see it someday on TV. So that would be great.
That would be fun.
Yes. So thank you, guys.
Oh, my pleasure. Fun. We're not done with you yet. You have
for
a minute.
No, it only sounded like that. So
it would have been a great arc, but we still have 12 minutes. So.
Oh, I'm so glad I can stay. I can find something else. Oh, I'm excited about that. I had no idea. We didn't even talk about dating or anything.
All right. Oh, well, then that sounds like the segue.
So what's it like dating after a divorce, especially in the time of COVID? Because you were talking about taking your time to get to know each other. Is the apocalypse a good thing?
Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare. It is such, you guys, terrible. How are you guys doing over there? It's the worst. You know, dating itself after divorce, it's just a nightmare for so many poor clients. It was a nightmare for me. But I did kind of like this mind flip. And the minute that I changed my thoughts on dating, all of a sudden it got to be really fun. And this is kind of crazy, but I lowered my expectations about dating in general. And things became more clear. And I kind of coach a little bit differently. And I'm kind of tough on my clients, but I'm also kind of fun, and I make dating fun, which is what it should be. I think if you date with a purpose to find your next wife or husband, and you put really high expectations on every single date, it's a disaster. That's just my personal opinion. So if you make a date like a meet, and you mm-hmm. actually don't put so much stock into every single person that you go meet on Tinder, then when you just spend 15 or 20 minutes getting to know someone, it becomes, you know what, like, hey, okay, I met a great person, and maybe they're a friend, and maybe they have a friend to fix me up with, and you know what, I didn't spend $35 on my hair, and I didn't spend $65 on dinner. I went for coffee, it was 20 minutes, and I had a baseball hat on, you know what I mean? And when
So are you promoting baseball hats on date number one?
Yeah, I'm promoting, like, let's just, like, chill out. And, well, now with COVID, let's chill out. Let's have a Zoom call. Let me see what's up. Let's see if we click. And let's just talk and chill. Like, I feel like people are so stressed out all the time about dating. And everyone's like, I hate it. And it's miserable. And guess what? No one wants to date a girl or a guy that hates dating. The sexiest thing about a woman or a guy is a smile, is a positivity, is, you know, being like coming into a room or and like being happy, right? Like, that's what I find attractive. I don't find someone, a bitchy girl walking in a room and being like, I had the worst four dates last week and I met this guy who wouldn't pay the bill. I mean, the stuff I hear, it's like, who wants to go out with a negative Nelly, right? So, and a lot of people aren't ready to date, and they date way too soon after divorce. And I think that's the biggest issue too.
Do you have any rules for that?
I do.
I knew it. I knew it, and I don't have. I don't even have a form in front of me. All right, spill the tea beans.
Yeah, and again, like, a lot of my rules come from, and that's my next book. Oh, my next book is about dating, obviously. But you know, a lot of my rules come from the things I made.
You're really good with titles.
You have a title? I do. I have a working title, but I'm not sharing it because I know it will change. But
and you don't want anyone else taking it, so sit on it for now.
No. Yes, I'll sit on it. But and a lot of my stuff, you know, my content comes from mistakes that I've made and things I've learned along the way. And one of the biggest ones, and I think that all dating coaches and divorce coaches will agree, is when you're not ready and you date, nothing good comes of that. Mm. And I think, and you know this, Morgana, too, is that in Devin's book, that you have to love being alone and being happy with yourself before you can be happy with someone else, right? And I
yes,
was like, get me out here. Yeah, get me out here. I got a date.
Yes, and. Like, I enjoyed my own company. I loved my life. I loved my freedom. I got really good at dating before I met Devin, where I took the pressure off. And made a decision. Nobody could reject me on a first date because they didn't know me well enough. I have so many really good reasons to reject me down the road that they can't even uncover in an hour-long date. Right. So I just, it became a lot lighter.
Right.
And at the same time, I really was yearning, and I was really yearning for a partner. And that, that pain didn't really go away.
Right, right. But did you know, can I ask you a question? Did you know when you met Devin? Like, was it a feeling that you had, like, this guy is different?
Oh, hell no. No, it wasn't that he wasn't. It was that, he's cuter than his picture. And
right,
I feel
right,
comfortable
always.
With him.
Okay.
And I can be myself with him, and I wouldn't mind seeing him again. I might grow to like him.
I love that. I love it. Those are big things. Those are for really, like, being comfortable with someone is really hard, really difficult, especially now, like, in this day and age. Like, comfortable is, like, a lot of my people are like, I don't know, I'm not comfortable with this guy. I'm like, done. If you're not comfortable, where do you think it's going?
One of the biggest switches was when I discovered that when I'm nervous and chatty Kathy and, you know, performing and all that kind of stuff, it was like the biggest light bulb in the world when I realized, oh my God, I'm like that because he's not safe.
Right.
And it's not that there's something wrong with me. It's not the right match.
You were just putting under protective, like, protection mode, right?
I just thought I was an idiot and a terrible dater. And aside from that, if I was with somebody who was safe, whether I wanted to date the person or not, I've realized And I learned this on a date with somebody that I was not attracted to at all, but I felt safe with, and I didn't have to put on a show. And I realized, oh, he's a good guy, and I can be myself. So that when I met Devin, one of the first things I noticed was, I am not performing for this person.
Oh, it's not nice.
Just being myself, and whether this ever leads to anything or not, I can be myself with this person. And that's, I think, a really huge good sign.
I think it's a great sign. I would tell you, if you were my client, that's a great sign. I love that. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I make my people,
I got a good mark.
You did great. You're both doing great. I love this. I could stay all night. This is bad. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's all about non-negotiables, too. After you're divorced, you have a little more, you know, I think you can be a little pickier. I don't like to use that word, but I tell my clients, make a list of non-negotiables, things that you're never going to settle for, like no pink flags. You're not allowed to have a pink flag. If it's a red flag, it's a red flag. Don't tell me it's pink, you know. You have to make a list, and I make them stick to it. Like if someone tells me they want to date a guy that doesn't have kids, and then they find a guy, a match, and he has four kids, you're not dating him. I told you, you know, you come to me first and you tell me you don't want, like, those are the kind of people that, you know, the wishy-washy with their
list. Was that really a non-negotiable, or was that a preference?
For me?
For the client. Like, I didn't think I wanted somebody with a kid.
Right.
But Devin's arrangement and his relationship with his daughter made him better for me than if he did. His being a great dad showed me who he was, and it ended up being a plus.
Right. Well, I think when I meet with my clients, I make them sit down and say things that are absolute non-negotiables. Like they're not going to, like I'm talking about things like non-smoker, doesn't drink alcohol, you know, their religion, their whatever, like things that they, and because what happens is, especially on Match, like people will be like, I'm not going to date anyone that lives an hour away. But then they run out of people, and then they change it to, oh, okay, I'll be fine with the person an hour away.
I've been there. I know,
me too. Trust me. My boyfriend an hour away. I said, I never do it. And here I am. So things, you know, you can't beat a square peg into a round hole. You have to start with a square peg that goes into a square hole. So I can only help you.
And
if
that
you
goes back
you.
To the first S, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So, the like, sex. You know, it's the sex. Yes. Yes. Square peg, round hole. Can't do it.
Right. Ouch.
Exactly. Ouch. So yeah, you know, I mean, I love what I do. It's fun. I love talking about it. I could do it all day. COVID sucks. It's ruining everything, except for it makes dating cheaper because people have to go on Zoom. You know, so, that's great.
So Jennifer, for those who are listening, how do they get in touch with you? And there's a whole bunch of things, right? There's a whole bunch of ways people can reach out to you. Correct.
You know what? It's just the easiest thing to do is go on my website. It's just the easiest. It's jenniferhurvitz.com, and that's two N's. So it's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R Hurvitz, H-U-R, V like Victor, I-T-Z.com. You can find me through there, and that's just the easiest way to do it. And there, my podcast you can listen to and buy my books, and I just loved being here, and I thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. So your podcast is Doing Divorce Right podcast.
Yes. And you both have been on it.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Devin, you were my first. Devin was my first podcast ever.
Really?
I forgot to push record. Remember that, Devin?
Oh, right.
You were my first podcast ever.
Speaking of, oh, my God.
That was remarkable.
Thankfully,
yeah, no, I totally forgot about that.
We have a producer who presses record for us, or we would be a mess.
Yeah, I forgot to push record. And I'm like, Devin, oh, my God, it was so good. But you were my first, one of my first recordings 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I am honored and still honored.
I love having you first.
So we are wrapping it up.
Oh,
and
thanks, guys.
Oh, we love having you. We are posting a link to your book on the Crazy Sexy Midlife Love website for this episode. The book is Coulda, Woulda, Shoulda, A Divorce Coach's Guide to Staying Married. We recommend you to the moon. You also have your great podcast. We'll make sure to have a link to that too, and your website and your blog, The Truth Hurvitz. Boy, do you know how to name things. So
And you're a rock star beyond belief.
You yes, guys, you. Too. Thank you for having me. You guys have the best night. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Jennifer.
Well. And so as much as we love you, Devin and I have no plan to get divorced.
None.
None at all. And besides, we would need like 25 divorces, and that's just a lot of effort.
So that said, we'll be here next week.
Next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time for more crazy, sexy midlife love. Mwah!
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.